Good morning, Citywell.
Good morning.
The passage for today comes from Luke 24, verses 33 to 48. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. While they were telling these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see me. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord. I'll set this here. So at the beginning of this passage, even before the portion that I read to you all just now, the passage tells us the story of two men that are walking away from Jerusalem, and they're on the road, and on the road they meet the resurrected Jesus. The resurrected Jesus appears to them. Two men were walking away from Jerusalem. What does it mean that they were walking away? Could we say that perhaps they were trying to escape what they had just witnessed? These men were part of the crowd that had followed Jesus these past years. And in these past few weeks, they have seen their Jesus unjustly incarcerated, publicly tortured, publicly shamed, violently murdered. Could we say then that as they walk away, Jerusalem is the source of their pain? Could we say that Jerusalem perhaps was the place where they had experienced love, but this love is now seemingly gone? Jerusalem was the place where they had found purpose, and this purpose is now seemingly gone. Jerusalem is the place where, as their eyes saw Jesus' body lifted up in that cross, their expectations were crucified too. Wound after wound after wound, they walk away from Jerusalem and their hearts still hurt. They leave this city, they walk the long way to this town far away, to walk away from the place that has seen all of their pain, the place that reminds them of their brokenness, the place that has killed their dreams. They run away, and as they're walking away, mourning through the dusty roads, Jesus appears. And Jesus tells them, "What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking?" Jesus appears, but Jesus doesn't appear to say right away, "I have seen your pain, I am your answer," although that is the truth. Jesus appears and he first asks them a question. Now, I think since this is the resurrected Jesus, he definitely knew what they were talking about, and he knew what kind of pain they were carrying, the pain that they were feeling. He knew what they were escaping from. He knew exactly what they had just witnessed. But Jesus doesn't say any of this. Instead, Jesus asks them a question. Can you hear what I hear in this passage? Can you hear Jesus' desire to enter into a conversation with us about our pain? after a painful journey to the cross, after the lengthy journey up the mountain carrying the weight of our sins, after the ache of the spear on his side, Jesus returns to the road of Emmaus to see his friends, to see his family again. He returns to his beloved ones, and really all he wants is to hear their voices. Can you hear him recite to them and us a poem of love? It's like he's saying, what is the source of your pain, my child? Tell me your words, for I love to hear the sound they make when your lips utter them. What is hurting you? Tell me, for your voice is sweet and soothing to my soul. I don't want to speak right now as much as I want to hear you. I want to hear of your journey here. I want to hear of what you've seen. I want to hear of what you've felt, what you have cried, what you have mourned. I want to hear you because I love you. So let me hear you. That is the kind of love that the Son of God has for us. The kind of love that a father and a mother has for us. This is the kind of love that Jesus had for these two as they walked down the road to Emmaus. This is the kind of love that surrounded them as they walked down the road and couldn't recognize Jesus next to them just yet. This is the kind of love that surrounded them as their hearts were filled with fear and their minds filled with doubts. Jesus was present, even when these couldn't yet name him in their pain. They don't recognize Jesus because their sorrow is deep and grave. They've just gone through an incredibly traumatic and violent experience. So, of course, all they talk and all they see is the brutal experience they have just witnessed. All they can ask are the many questions they have about Jesus' body disappearing from the tomb. At the end of the story, right before the passage that I just read, Jesus doesn't reveal himself until the breaking of the bread. These two guys realize how he's been walking with them all along. Their hearts are set on fire. The story says when Jesus opened their eyes to the revelations that he's been walking with them the whole time, their hearts begin to burst with so much awe and so much wonder that they turn back around and walk the whole way back to Jerusalem in the darkness of the night. They can't wait. They can't wait for the roads to be less dangerous or for their bodies to rest from the long walk they have just had. They can't wait. They run back to meet the disciples in Jerusalem to tell them what they have seen. And so here is where we enter our passage for today. While they were still speaking about these things, arguing among themselves, Jesus interrupts their conversation. It is not difficult to imagine why the crew was arguing. If it was me, it would be really hard for me to understand Jesus has come back after I had mourned him for 3 days. After I had tended to his body, after I had washed him, anointed him, and touched his body with my tears, for I couldn't believe he was left in such a state. Why would I believe he's back? I would say, don't tell me you saw him alive and play with my emotions. His followers have been mourning for 3 entire days. 3 days of longing for something. Longing for something or someone who no longer is. 3 entire days of mourning. Can you relate? What is it like to feel that God has abandoned you? What is it like to feel that you're disconnected from your source of life? What is it like to long for this Jesus that was once so present and now your physical eyes have seen him die? I have seen Jesus die. I am an immigrant who has walked this immensity of a space you call the U.S. border. This immense space that man has fenced in specific places with all sorts of military equipment so that you're forced to walk away from the flatter areas and into the wilderness. Man has turned the wilderness into a weapon. modifying this space in such a way to assure that it would surely kill me. I've walked this wilderness that's killed so many. I've walked on a ground filled with scars that openly bleed, a ground bruised with exhausted bones. How they long. How painful it is to long. I've carried a certain type of longing half of my life since I've left my country. When I left, my family structures were shattered into pieces. Suddenly, home became a place my fingers could no longer touch. Suddenly, uncles who were always second fathers became figures in WhatsApp screens. Cousins who were always siblings grew up, got married, had children, and the entirety of my joy and all the hugs I wanted to give them had to fit inside a phone call. My home has ceased to have walls, grounded floors, and windows. My home has become a life lived in unsettlement, a deep longing of what it used to be. I've spent my life in the United States rebuilding home in my imagination. 14 years stretching my arms long to reach for all the memories I can collect. Devouring all the Latin American poets, saving their words in my pockets, using them to build another piece of this puzzle, these well-constructed memory maps in my imagination that makes my home. My home is a life lived in longing, where I tell everyone I meet how home used to smell, how it felt, what it tasted like, how loud it always was. A longing that means I tell myself that I have to remember. I have to rebuild this home in my imaginations. I have to beg my heart not to forget. Jesus followers carry wounds that bleed when they attempt to make sense of Jesus' death. How could they do that injustice to him? My wounds bleed as well when I hear of yet another raid this week. This week, immigration officials detained dozens of immigrants in cities here and nearby, Durham, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Asheville. They were arrested and taken into vans while they were throwing their trash outside their homes. They were arrested and disappeared while they parked at a shopping center. They were taken away in secrecy and left behind entire families with bleeding scars in their hearts. My wounds bleed when there are people in our state that are forced to enter sanctuary, when the months pass by and their lives feel as if they live inside a tomb. And the resurrection hasn't come. The resurrection for them hasn't come yet. So what do we do with the wounds that are still present? What do we do with the mourning that doesn't go away? What do we do with the diseases that still come back? What do we do with the longing? What do we do with the waiting? What do we do? While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hand and his feet. Jesus' followers carry wounds like mine. Their hearts long for healing like mine. Their hearts have been waiting for a long time. And Jesus appears in their longing. Jesus appears in their waiting. Jesus not only appears, but Jesus appears with a word. Jesus brings the desire to speak to you about your pain, about the broken pieces you see all around you, about the everlasting longing in your heart. Jesus brings the desire for a conversation, the desire to hear you, to be with you, and he says, peace. How important it is that Jesus shows up here. How important it is that Jesus chose to show up here. How important it is that Jesus shows the resurrection to his followers and to all generations to come as a resurrection in the midst of confusion, in the intersection of longing and pain, in the thick of the unsettlement. The incarnated Jesus, turns out, didn't show up his resurrected body as a complete healed body. The resurrected Jesus chose to show himself bearing the marks of the crucifixion. The marks of the crucifixion is actually how, in this passage, we're able to tell this is the Son of God. See my wounds, he says. See my hands and my feet. They look like yours. This is how you can tell this is me. My wounds look like your wounds. How important it is that this is how Jesus shows us what resurrection means. How important it is that resurrection, what we know is the picture of what wholeness means, is shown to us in the scars of Jesus' hands and feet. What does this tell us about healing? What does it tell us about wholeness and peace? What does it tell us about home? Perhaps it tells us that these are concepts we've been taught to think of as something apart from struggle, something to reach out for, and so we spend our entire lives reaching out for this whole, healed, pristine self. Perhaps Jesus' hands and feet show us that wholeness maybe means Jesus' presence in our wounds. Wholeness maybe means that Jesus is present in our wounds. Wholeness right now in this earth doesn't mean achieving this pristine state where nothing hurts. Wholeness perhaps means living in the midst of hurt, and that this doesn't escape any of Jesus. The incarnated Jesus is the Jesus with the wounds, extending his presence into our wounded lives. I know your wounds, Jesus says. Just look at my hands and at my feet. You and I, we carry these wounds. I carry these wounds, and I show them to you so that you can see that in these woods my God dwells. In the wilderness of the border, I have seen Jesus die. In the border too, God died and rose again to become the God of the border. God became mi Jesús, el Jesús que abre sus manos y me enseña sus heridas. A Jesus who stings his arms to show me the wounds of his feet and hands. My God is a God of the border, a God who carries and cares for the dead, a God who carries and cares for the voices that scream for justice from under the ground. My God is a God of the border, a God who rose from the dead and chose to show me his life in the wounds he still carried in his hands. Why are you troubled? See the wounds in my hands, see the wounds in my feet. Sidwell, at the end of this month, I will officially finish my term as your student pastor, since in a month I'll be graduating from the Divinity School. So I've been pondering of what it has meant for me to learn how to preach these last 3 years in this place, in this church, together with you. Here, I have learned that preaching for me is learning how to empty out all these stories from the many journeys I've taken onto this space. Here, I've learned that to preach is to talk to you about the God that I know. And really, to tell you about the God that I know, I have to tell you about the pain. It is to tell you about my wounds, because these, I believe, is where God resides. To preach is to tell you about this, my God of the border. It's to tell you that this Jesus knows that the past is never just past. He appears and disrupts the present bearing the scars of the past. And in his scars and sus cicatrices, there we find the resurrection. There are never times where this wound that I carry doesn't hurt. But Jesus sees me. Jesus picks up back my pieces and puts them together. And when I look at myself and still see the scars and how sometimes they bleed, Jesus says, look at me. Look at the wounds in my hands and look at the wounds in my feet. I may never have a physical place that I can truly feel at home. I may always live in the unsettlement, where home becomes these well-constructed memory maps in my imagination. But the wounds of Jesus tells me that here I find him. His wounds tell me that here he lies with me in the unsettlement. Here he lies as I attempt to build little spaces that remind me of home. Not construct like getting myself a physical house, but finding moments like those I find myself when I find a good Mexican food somewhere in Durham. Moments like the one I spend with Samuel and Julia sitting down for dinner, or the moments where I find myself here with you, sharing a piece of my heart, extending this thread that knits your and my lives together, building a common unity, a community. It is in all these places that I find the wounded Jesus that walks with me. May you find that your Jesus is present in the wounds that are still present. May you find that your Jesus is still present in the mourning that doesn't go away. May you find that your Jesus is present in the times where the diseases still come back. May you find that your Jesus is present in the longing. Your Jesus is present in the waiting. Amen.